Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Mental Health Casual Podcast. I'm your host, Lucky, and today we are going over to the Forever Alone subreddit. Been a while since we've been here, but I like to let this one refresh every now and then just because we don't get... Actually, it seems to be a little bit more active than I remember it being. I remember at one point it wasn't like you couldn't find anything on here, and like you'd find like one post, and then it'd be like the next post is like 3 months ago, all that kind of stuff. So, either way, I wanted to go into this very specific post because it does talk about fornication, sexual immorality. I kind of wanted to get into the nitty gritty of that. Before we go any further, real quick, just want to give you the spiel. If you guys are new here, first off, welcome. I usually give advice and try and learn something new. I try and give advice on mental health issues through a Christian perspective. And ultimately, you know, just to make it very clear, my main goal is to lead you guys to Christ, because that is ultimately who's going to help you. That is ultimately the way to salvation, and ultimately that is the prerequisite to a lot of the things that I talk about, or to everything that I talk about in here. But either way, I'm no means a professional or a pastor, so feel free to take my advice with a grain of salt or apply it to your life however you see fit. And before we get started, I remembered, guys, why don't we go ahead and start with prayer. Once again, if you guys are in a car or some, you know, doing something at this time, feel free to just prepare your heart. Pray, you know, pray to be grounded, those types of things. Either way, Father God, thank you so much for this time to talk about your word, Lord, to talk about the ways of the world in which are against the fruits of the Spirit, Lord. And I just pray, oh Lord, that anybody struggling with sexual immorality, with lust out there, that that they would focus on you, Lord, that they would focus on the heavenly things instead of the world, that they would turn their eyes from the world, which just seems to chew us up and spit us out, Lord. But Lord, I just pray all of these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this only post, this is a pretty long post, so I just want to kind of get into it. This post says, had a first time with an escort, in other words, a prostitute. I was a 23-year-old sexually frustrated virgin male who was diagnosed with Asperger's. If you guys don't know what Asperger's is, I believe it's something upon the spectrum. Let me look it up real quick. Asperger's syndrome, a form of autism spectrum disorder, is a developmental disorder. Young people with Asperger's syndrome have a difficult time relating to others socially, and their behavior and thinking patterns can be rigid and repetitive. Okay, so now we got that. Before this, I was against the idea of paying for sex and wanted to have my first time with someone special, like many naive virgins here. However, my hormones were not on the same page as my morals. Despite trying to date using conventional methods such as Tinder and approaching people in real life, I faced rejection after rejection. My touch deprivation and horniness began to negatively impact my studies, work, and sleep schedule. Even starting a workout routine only increased my sex drive. I became increasingly desperate and even punched myself when alone. I eventually came to the realization that mainstream dating advice wasn't working for me, so I saved up money and decided to visit an escort. I went to a nice apartment, met a cute and pretty girl, and paid for her services. I won't go into detail, but I was very nervous, and it wasn't 100% perfect experience, but it wasn't as bad as I had feared. I also was worried about PE, or premature ejaculation, but that didn't happen. The girl was very kind and understanding. Some of my close friends have told me that I should go to bars and pick up girls there and quote-unquote learn game, quote-unquote be more confident alpha, but I personally prefer this route. Can't stand large social gatherings or drinking, and I get extremely nervous talking to random girls and playing complicated mind games. Another objection I've had, as I mentioned, is that I should quote-unquote wait for someone special. No doubts I want a long-term relationship, and this is not a solution for my core problems in my romantic life, but if I do end up in a relationship, I don't have to tell my partner about my past sexual experiences, and neither does she. In conclusion, I regret nothing, and I'm planning to book another session with the same girl. I am more focused on my work, gym, and becoming a better version of myself. Of course, I'm still jealous of people who have real relationships, but it doesn't hinder my personal life anymore. So, you know, I think we have to be... So, real quick, I just want to, like, I just want to pose this question out there for anybody. What do you guys think What do you think is so different about society nowadays, as opposed to before, right? There's always been lust, and let's not, this goes all the way back to King David and Bathsheba, right? If you guys don't know, I'm trying to think of a very, because I've never read the book completely, so I don't want to go into complete detail. But if you guys have ever heard the song Hallelujah, there's a he saw her bathing on the roof, right? So that's a reference to David is walking and he looks up and sees Bathsheba bathing on the roof, right? And eventually, gives in to his lust and sends out somebody to go, to inquire about her. Figures out that she's married, not only married, but she's married to one of his. I want to say like advice. I can't remember exactly, but somebody under him. And so he decides, hey, you know what? Forget about it. Just you know, ends up. They end up having a one night stand, which eventually leads to the birth of Saul, of Solomon. And yeah, so I mean, this has been around forever, right? Like this isn't a new concept, but with the invention of certain things, and what prostitution also is not a new concept, right? And so, but what do you guys think about think is a newer concept, right? Let's look at the newer concepts that are out there. We have pornography, right? The escalation of it. And as this person said, right? Let me I eventually came to the realization that mainstream dating advice wasn't working for me, right? And I want to go back up to here. Despite trying to date using conventional methods such as Tinder and approaching people in real life. So Tinder is Tinder has become a conventional method, right? And Tinder, for the most part, right, it's not meant to for dating in particular. It's more of a hookup type thing. And so what I have against about, and this is something that I've had to struggle with and am struggling with. This is actually one of my prayer requests for my prayer group, is for patience. And awaiting the Lord's provision. One of the things that has helped me out tremendously is talking to older married men and asking them, well, how did you meet your wife? And a lot of them have told me, I prayed to the Lord, and as long as you are focusing on God, right? And obviously you can pray about that. You can absolutely pray for the Lord to put someone in your life, obviously, right? That's absolutely within God's will. Obviously there are going to be some people who have the gift of celibacy, but I think to be honest with you, I think you'll know if you have the gift of celibacy. But either way, right? So I'd have to do a little bit more research on that, but either way, right? When you're focusing on the Lord, you can become a better, more spiritual person. And in this case, I'm speaking more to the men, just because I'm coming from that angle. No, I'm not trying to alienate women out there, but I'm just trying to speak more for the men, just in case of being the spiritual leader of a household, right? I have really it's really helped me to really focus on God's word, focus on focus on more on his wisdom, focus more on learning more and more about the word of God, and also serving, right? A lot of times, one of the things that the Lord convicted me on is, when my 6 months of I don't want to call it a probation period, but basically when I got to the church, they have a 6 month period where they kind of, they want to make sure that they know you before you start serving at the church. And so once the 6 month happened, I was kind of like, do I really need to serve? Do I really? And then the Lord just started convicting me, like, hey, listen, you're single, you have a job which allows you to do this, which with a fixed schedule, there's no reason for you not to be serving for my glory, for God's glory, right? And it really helped me to really understand that type of that idea of idle hands is are the devil's workshop, that type of thing, right? So it kept me busy as well. But as I talked to more and more of these men, they all had the same story, right? And in fact, I don't know where I land on this issue. My pastor is very much against dating. And I'm sure there's a reason for it. At least from what I have seen, it is more flesh led when you're dating. And you're tr and my pastor likes to call it he had a great term for it, divorce training, right? You're dating this person until basically you're dating this person until roughly you're sick of them, and since you're not into in a binding relationship, you just leave, right? Whereas with Christians, it's more about courting, but it's more about courting the one that the Lord puts in your life. And this goes back to the Lord's provision, right? Let's go let me see if I can find the now that I have the verse now that I have like what I actually want to talk about, the verse isn't here, so let me look it up real quick. Let's go over to Matthew 6. This is I've talked about this before, but Matthew 6, let's go to verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So seek first the kingdom of God. Now, obviously, this is in reference to the things that we need. So, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Those types of things. But we also have to remember it's always has to be God first. If God is not first in your life, what is? And if there's something other than God first in your life, then it's an idol, right? And yes, if you are married, your wife can be an idol, your kids can be an idol, your job can be an idol. Anything that replaces God as your number one the number one pursuit in your life, that it has become an idol. And when we talk about sex, right, and sexual immorality, that's basically what this young boy has chosen, right? He's basically made sex an idol, right? He has made and listen, do I not understand the cravings of a young boy? Well, yeah, of course I do, but also I also understand the messages sent out by the mainstream media, the messages sent out by our schools, right? When I was in school, when we had sex ed, it was very, very common. We used to have Planned Parenthood come in, and they would always tell us, "Hey, listen, this is completely normal. It's completely normal to masturbate. It's completely normal to do this, to do that, to go watch porn," right? That was something that they told us in when I was in 6th or 7th grade. In biology, I remember that, and they would tell us all this stuff, and they wouldn't really t you know they didn't have a biblical perspective on it, so they would just be like, "Oh yeah, no, this is all natural." Just because things are natural, or sorry, excuse me, just because things everybody seems to think that things are okay, does not mean that they are okay. We should be asking, do they hold up to the moral law of God? Do they hold up to that? A good example of this, going back to King David, one of the things that he used to participate in was having concubines, was having those types of things. Concubines meaning like sex slaves, basically. That was something that was common in that culture, but for a king, right? But it was still against God's law. It was still against the law of Moses, right? It wasn't endorsed by God whatsoever. In fact, and that night with Bathsheba, that wasn't endorsed by God either, right? That wasn't None of that was within God. None of that was was I want to say spirit led, but that was before the Holy Spirit was indwelling in within us. But either way, you understand roughly what I mean, right? Like none of that, all of that was against God's law. And so when we look at sexuality, a lot of people tend to think that things are okay just because, oh well, we can do this, it's totally fine, right? It's totally fine to do this, it's totally fine to do that. And yet, there we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. I love the Blue Letter Bible, guys. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food for the stomach and stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Wow, that verse worked a lot better than I thought it was going to. I only remembered the first part of it, but, you know, the Lord just kind of guided me through that. And then let's go ahead and read it. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Right? This is referring to Genesis, right? For the two become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. This is verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So this is a very important thing, right? When we give ourselves over to Christ, right, our bodies become not our own. And that is something that's still very, very hard for me to wrap my head around, right? My body's not my own, but, you know, what is this? And a lot of people tend to think that this is a very limiting idea, right? Like, oh, my body's not my own. Well, I mean, what if I want to have, what if I'm having all these sexual thoughts? What if I'm having all these hormones happen to me? Well, guess what? With Christ, we have the power to say no to our flesh. That's the difference there. We have the power to say no to our flesh when these things arise, right? And listen, this person says, I regret nothing and I'm planning to book another session. Just because you regret nothing now does not mean you won't regret something the same thing later. There's a lot of things that I thought I wouldn't regret, and I felt totally fine the next day, the day after, the month after, the year after, the 2 years after. But as I went along, I started to realize that those things stuck with me. And so, to anybody who's younger, be very careful with your virginity. Be very careful with your with all those things. Remember that that is meant for a man and a woman within marriage, and that's for a reason. Okay. And listen, I am absolutely, I absolutely have not been truthful to that with the past. Right. Absolutely not. But that's why I'm telling you also, flee from it. Right. It doesn't say, hey, listen, that sexual immorality stuff, I mean, you could dabble in it, but, you know, just don't get too much into it. No, it says flee from sexual immorality. Flee away. Get away from it. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body, right? For you have become one flesh with this person, and that's why it's so painful a lot of times to separate those two. And if it does start to, and you know, this is another thing, I don't have the science article, but you guys can probably look it up. One of the things that happens when two people have sex is that you have this bonding chemical called oxytocin that bonds you to that person. Well, the and it's been shown that the more partners somebody has, the harder it is to I think it's called pair bond with another person. So if you keep on having all these sexual partners, well, guess what? You're gonna keep giving a little bit of you're gonna keep joining with somebody and leaving somebody, joining with somebody and leaving somebody. Remember, making one flesh. Well, if you keep on making yourself one flesh with one person, two people, three people, four people, five people, six people, well, guess what? It's harder for you to pair bond because you're emotionally speaking, you're gonna probably already be seeking the next person out, right? And that's a big problem with these marriages that you see in the mainstream media. If you look at celebrities and all that stuff, they always find somebody else that will I hate to use this term because it sounds wrong, but scratch that itch, I guess, so to speak. They'll find somebody else, right? And this is the important thing to take away from this whole podcast here is what is we talked about it a little bit before yesterday, but what is your price, or what would the ideal woman for if you're a guy, what is the ideal woman for you that you would say, I would risk my marriage on this? And if you're a woman, what is the ideal guy that you would risk your marriage on, right? And if you have one, if you have an ideal guy, if you have an ideal woman, or a lot of people like to do this stupid game where they call it a hall pass, right? Like, oh yeah, me and my wife love each other, but she knows that if I ever met, I'm just gonna say a random person, Lucy Liu. If I met Lucy Liu, then I can, we've agreed on it that I can sleep with her. It's a hall pass or something like that. And I don't like the idea of that. I think that if you're making that if you're opening that door just a bit, be careful what comes in. How about that? So either way, guys, flee from sexual immorality and remember to remember that just because something is lawful does not mean that it is good for you, okay? Or helpful to you. So either way, guys, remember you can check out all things casual at the link tree in the info box. If you'd like to email me, feel free to email me at mentalhealthcasual@gmail.com. But as always, guys, God bless.